I was apparently not the only one who raised the question. One of the other competitors had already written a letter asking about it, so the prefect sent faxes to all the bidders, but the wording of his fax only made it more confusing. He told us we were to build the entire south wing of the theater from the ground to the roof. But what does the entire south wing mean? Does it mean the footprint of the old south wing as it was before the fire? Or the footprint of the old south wing plus the additional building? Now, I was more confused than ever, so I went over to the office of the city council and talked with some of my friends there who had worked there for years. Those are the people who always know what's going on. They told me no one had said anything about it to them, but with a little smile, they said we should include the new space. We had a big meeting in Milan, and I explained what was going on in Venice. We decided to take a bit of a risk and go ahead with Rossi's plan for the enlarged south wing. The Comune probably assumed everybody would design the south wing with more of the same kind of offices that were there before. But Rossi had another idea, and it was brilliant. He moved the rehearsal hall from the top floor down here to the ground floor in the new space. He made it big enough to hold rehearsals for a full orchestra and chorus. It could also be used for chamber music concerts or conferences. The beautiful thing is that this rehearsal room becomes a new medium-sized theater that could be in use at the same time as the main theater. It's isolated acoustically, and it has its own entrance on the street. With two theaters operating at once, the Fenice's total capacity would be increased by about 10%. Damosto put the file back down on the sea of papers on his desk. I'm curious to see what the others have done with the South Wing. On the way out, Damosto took me one flight up to the Piano Nobile. The central hall was a vast space, 75 feet in length. It had tall, leaded glass windows at each end and stuccoed walls hung with portraits of Damosto ancestors, one of whom had been a paymaster of the Venetian military and was surrounded by stacks of gold coins. Off the main hall, an elegant salon with walls of gold brocade led to a small frescoed chapel, and beyond it, a dining room where, Damosto said, a scene from Visconti's Senso had been filmed. The producers of the movie, the talented Mr. Ripley, also want to shoot a scene in the house, said Damosto. It's very expensive to keep the Stucchi repaired in these humid conditions, so we said yes. As I was looking at the family portraits, Damosto's father came into the room. He was a courtly gentleman, soft-spoken and impeccably dressed in a suit and tie in muted colors. I had read that he was a leading proponent of the movement to restore the Republic of Venice as an independent state separate from the rest of Italy. He was a separatist, an independista. I asked him about it. Most people don't realize, he said, that the Venetian Republic never really died. When Napoleon's army was approaching in 1797, the Grand Council voted in a panic to dissolve the Republic. But the vote was illegal because there were not enough people in the council chamber to make a quorum. Napoleon's savage and despicable occupation of Venice was only a military operation, and the Austrian occupation that followed was, again, nothing more than a military holding action. The unification of Italy in the referendum of 1866 was a sham, a trick by the Savoia family, with ballots that were filled in beforehand, and with the police and the carabinieri spying on people at the polling station. It was shameful. But what can possibly be done about it now? I asked. We hope to bring all of this to the attention of the Hague Tribunal. I don't know what will happen. It won't be an easy battle. Somehow, I doubted that any tribunal would feel it had the authority to undo the unification of Italy 130 years after the fact. But that seemed to be Count Damosto's hope. How do you feel, I said, knowing that if Francesco's team wins the Fenice contract, he'll be helping to resurrect not just the Fenice, but the Fenice's royal box, which was originally built for Napoleon and later rebuilt by the Austrians? For the last 50 years, the Count said with a genial smile, a large gilded Lion of St. Mark has adorned the pediment over the royal box. It's not Napoleon's royal box any longer, nor is it Austria's. It's ours.